Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, guys, today we're going to dig into a question that, I was going to say comes up a lot, but I think it comes up pops into everybody's mind at some point, certainly when they're starting a copywriting career, considering starting a copywriting career.
And without even realizing it, though, too, maybe. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those insidious questions that we just dwell on without even noticing it personally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So we're going to address it and then can give you a new perspective. And that question is, what if I fail? What if I can't do this? And we'll talk a little bit about failure, but I also want to make sure that you guys know that we have a whole podcast episode about the concept of failure as a copywriter. So we will link to this. If you have not listened to it, I cannot recommend it strongly enough. Definitely check it out. Because in a nutshell, what we will tell you is that in practical terms, you can't fail. You fail when you give up, but there's no reason that you can't be successful as long as you keep taking action and refining and all that kind of stuff. But let's set that aside for a second, because that's the logical, but there's the emotional, right? The feeling of I'm afraid to get started at this because I might fail. I might not do this. And maybe part of that is being afraid that you won't follow through, or being afraid that that people will have opinions about you changing your career or doing something on the side or other things,
or not cheer for your success. And that if you don't follow through on copywriting, you try it and maybe you find out that you don't want to pursue it, or you want to pursue it in a different way. A lot of people incorporate it into other work that they do and strengthen their skill set with copywriting. And so I think there's that fear of, what if I don't hit my goal that I told people was my goal and my goal changes? And I say, I want to freelance copywriting. Maybe they get a job at an agency, but I gave up on freelancing. And how does that make me look? I think there's a lot of external noise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we'll dig into all of those certainly. But I think the thing that we want to really lean into is, yes, as human beings, unfortunately, our brains tend to catastrophize. We evolved to look for problems. We evolved to look for danger. And so immediately we think, oh, I'm interested in this new thing. Oh, but what if I fail? What if I can't do it? But what we would encourage you to do is, as your brain starts thinking about that, look at it from a different angle. Mm-hmm. What if you fail? Instead of what if you fail, what if you succeed? Because if you think of failing as being a possibility,
which again, please check out that episode about failure because we dig into that a lot more. But let's say you're thinking about failing as being a possibility, then why can't success be just as likely of a possibility? And so what would success actually mean? What would that look like?
And it's so much more likely a possibility when you really stop to think about it. If you're doing the work and you're learning and you're training and you have the skills and you're building your skill set, there's so much more reason then that you would succeed, because again, failure is just if you give up. So if you are not giving up and you're continuing to take the actions that you need to take, and maybe you get sidetracked a little bit, but then you get more information, you say, okay, I need to go back on the path this way, then you're most likely going to get where you want to go. And I want to say too, this is also for people who are copywriting right now, and maybe you're just getting a first few clients and you have that fear of what if my client, and honestly, I shouldn't even say new copywriters. It happens to, I think Stuart just shared this in the group, not to put you on blast, Stuart, but about how even when you're with a brand new client that you've never worked with before, you could have been doing this for 5 years, but it's a brand new client, you really want to do your best work and you feel like, did I get my most creative ideas? I feel like I worked on this and it hits the brief, but is it my best work? And you have those thoughts of, well, what if I send this through to my client and they write back to me with some horrible feedback that they hate it, that they never want to work with me again. And we catastrophize in that way as well of just, you know, and again, you've a professional copywriter, you know, what if you send it through your client and they love it and you have no edits? What if you send it through and they come back with more projects because they're so thrilled with your work? What if they do come back with some feedback and, hey, guess what? That makes you a better writer. You realize, oh, this is a collaborative process. What if they come back with feedback and you realize, oh, the more I get feedback, the easier it is to get feedback. Mm-hmm. There's so many paths that this can take. And I think too often we don't stop to explore those paths. And I think one of the best ways to do that really is to pull up a Google Doc, journal if that's more your thing, pen to paper, and say, okay, I am noticing, start to notice yourself going down the route of catastrophizing and saying, okay, all these negative what if, what if, what if, and start writing down the alternate version of what if. And it doesn't even have to be the most successful thing either. It doesn't have to be the grand, you know, what if my client comes back and gives me a bonus of $500 or whatever, which would be wonderful. And maybe they will. Great. But it could also just be a more benign thing. What if my client, hey, they don't seem super excited about this, but they liked it and it did what it was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Great.
Well, and you know, I think something to keep in mind is that if you are listening to this or you are watching this, you are very likely, if not 100%, if I'm not 100% certain that you are, a high achiever. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I can say that is because high achievers are the people who are interested in bettering themselves and bettering their lives. There are, and maybe you're so used to it, you don't think that there are other people like this, but there are a lot of people, maybe even most people, who don't think about improving themselves, who don't think about improving their lives, who don't think, you know, I don't really like the career I'm in right now. What else can I do? There are a lot of people out there who don't do that. So the people who do that are the people who care about themselves, who care about their lives, who achieve things and who want to achieve things. Unfortunately, the other thing, being a high achiever is fantastic. Unfortunately, the other side of that, high achievers tend to hold ourselves up to high standards, which means we're also much more likely to worry about failure, to count small setbacks as to call a small setback a failure. Like we were talking about earlier, sometimes students, you know, there's a reason that we give you lifetime access to the Comprehensive Copywriting Academy, because life happens. You know, we'll, often we hear from students who say, oh, I got started a couple of years ago and I dug in a little bit and then something came up, or, you know, my job changed or my life changed or we moved or something happened and I stepped away from it. But I got back into it and now I'm doing, you know, and now I'm doing the work and now I'm starting to pitch and now I'm start, or now I'm doing the work and now I'm applying for copywriting jobs, that kind of thing. Is that person a failure because they didn't adhere to their original timeline? Of course not, right? Of course not. In fact, I think there's that person deserves a lot of credit for getting back to it, for getting a little bit derailed. And derailed isn't even the right word, because it's
life.
It's life. Life happens, and that's okay. That person is very clearly not a failure. They're coming back to it, and now they're getting back. But I think that we can hear that, and we can say that of course that person is not a failure, but we might be so much more likely to consider ourselves as having failed, quote unquote. You can't see me if you're listening to the podcast, put it in quotes, air quotes, quote unquote, failed for not having adhered to our original plan.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, one of the things with thinking about how we would talk to one of our friends who is going to achieve something. Hey, I have this goal and I want to become a helicopter pilot. I want to learn a foreign language. You would never be like, best of luck. They're going to fail at that. You might be excited for them. You would be cheering on their success. You know, you might try to offer advice in terms of like, okay, like what's the first step in that? Like, what are you going to do first? Are you going to sign up for a language class? You know, are you going to take a trip? Are you going to, what are you going to do to achieve that? You might get curious, but I have a hard time imagining anyone in our community, because we're such a good group of people, being negative and saying to someone, what if that language is too hard for you to learn? What if you don't have time to practice? Like these, you wouldn't go down that line of questioning. I wouldn't think most people, we want to cheer on other people's successes. So why aren't we doing that for ourselves, is all that's to say. Why are we arguing for our own limitations when we would never argue for someone else's?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And, you know, if you're thinking, well, yeah, but I've started things before and I haven't completed them. Totally get that. Absolutely, totally get that.
Me too.
Yes.
Haven't we
yes,
all?
Absolutely. But there is a reason that within the CCA and, you know, we have courses about what it takes to actually complete things. And the problem is that a lot of us think that, and I'm not going to get too deep into this here because we talk about it in various places, but a lot of us think that it's all about motivation. And yes, motivation is great to get you started. That it's that initial catalyst, right? It's that initial emotional flood of emotions. It's that initial excitement. But that excitement is not meant to last. Motivation is not something meant to last. Our bodies couldn't take it if that initial motivation was something that lasted. So I think that a lot of us have been trained to think that we need to rely on motivation to stick with something, to get something done. And that's not the case. You can use motivation to get you started, to get you signed up, to get you in the Facebook group, to get you started on going through the but that motivation is by its very nature going to disappear. So when it disappears, number one, it doesn't mean that you're not meant to do this, or it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, or it doesn't mean that you've quote unquote failed in some way. It just means that you've passed the initial motivation stage. And now, instead of, and I can tell you, I wasted a lot of years Googling, you know, how to get my motivation back, how to re-motivate myself. That's not how it works. Once that motivation stage is over, then you move into the commitment stage. And so that, in one of the things we talk a lot about in the course, and one of the things that the ways that we've structured the program, and the ways that whenever you want to achieve anything, you need to structure it, is to make sure that you are able to make and stick with that commitment. And there are a myriad of different ways that to support that. You know, there's the community, there's accountability, there's scheduling, there's breaking your projects down into smaller shit. There's all kinds of stuff. And we go into all of it in depth. But I want to be very clear that we have all been sold a bill of goods about this idea that, like, if you just rely on motivation, you'll get it done. And it doesn't. That's not how motivation works. Motivation is fantastic, but it's only fantastic to get you started. After that, it's going to disappear. And the only thing it means, again, it's not a sign, there's nothing wrong with you. The only thing it means is is that that initial phase is over and you're on to the next phase. And I think a lot of us, and I would include myself in that, a lot of us have tried things in the past and then beat ourselves up because we were waiting for that motivation to come back. It never did. And then we didn't have the tools to stick with the project. I know for a fact that that is a lot of stuff earlier in my life, before I understood this, that absolutely what happened to me, because I was just waiting for that I was told that motivation was something that I could rely on and then I could get it back and that would carry me through. And if I'm not motivated, if I'm not feeling it, if I'm not excited about it every single day, then, oh, maybe this isn't what I'm meant to do. Or maybe there's something wrong with me. Oh, I'm failing. We weren't given the right tools to carry us through to the next stage.
Yeah. I think thinking of that concept and a concept we've kind of been sold of what's supposed to happen or whatnot is success, the idea of success that we've been told this is what success is supposed to look like. And I think especially in the age of social media where you see only the highlight reels, you see all the good things, you see successes that you might not even want, but then just on a subconscious level, it starts to infiltrate you and you're like, is that my definition of success? And I think we get muddled of what success really means to us. And I think we talk about the big why a lot because that fits in of why do you want to do this? Is it to make a certain dollar amount? Great, absolutely. But deeper than that, is it to spend more time with kids? Is it to go on vacation more often? Is it to be able to work from your kitchen table? Is it to be able to pick up your kids when they're sick at school or stay home with them at school when they're sick from school? All of these sorts of things that might be a better barometer for your success than anything else that you're seeing out in the world. And so I think when we talk about, you know, what if I fail, what if I succeed, thinking about what success is for you, what if I achieve this definition of success? Mm-hmm. I might not achieve this other definition, but do I even want to achieve that? And it can be thinking of motivation. Yeah, very demotivating if you're like, oh, I'm not achieving what I think I should be. But asking yourself, do I even want that? Do I even mm-hmm. want that to be what my success looks like? What do I want my success to look like? Yeah. And again, having that vision and writing it down. So if it's, you know, sure, what if I fail? But okay, what if this other thing happens? And making sure you're clear on what that thing is that you want to happen versus some other thing that you don't even care about. Mm-hmm.
And success is not just one final destination, right? Success is all kinds of wins along, quote unquote, small wins, lots of quotes in this episode, quote unquote, small wins on the way to wherever you want to eventually go to. You know, is it a success to get started? Is it a success to post the first time in the Facebook group, especially if I'm a little bit nervous? They're very friendly, but our students and coaches and Kate and I are very friendly, but a success? Yes. Is it a success when you finish going through the foundations course? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it a success when you put up your website, when you follow all the steps that we give you and you get feedback in the coaching calls and you put up your website? Is this a success when you pitch your first client, when you have your first $1,000 month, when you have your first $2,000 month, when you have your first $5,000? Are all of those successes? Yes. It's not just one thing. And when you see too that again, it's not a black and white thing. It's not you fail or you succeed. It's either you give up or you experience all of these gains as you make your way through the process. And the thing is too is that yes, absolutely, it's within your rights to give up. But if it matters to you, if it truly matters to you, and we're talking about why you want to do this, if it truly matters to you to have a career that you find fulfilling and that is creative and that is fun and that lets you earn a good living and lets you have the freedom that you want, if that matters to you, then there are all kinds of things that you can rely on, systems that you can rely on, support systems that you can rely on, people that you can rely on to help ensure that you don't give up. And when you look at it that way, it's not, what if I fail? It's, how can I help ensure that I don't give up? And then what are my successes going to look like?
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that's helpful too is to think a little closer to right now versus so far out into the future. I think when we look so far out into the future, we're trying to predict things that we can't possibly predict. And I think if you listen to any of the student stories on the podcast, one that comes to mind is Carly. Carly set out to become a copywriter, which she did. But then she saw a posting for a social media manager. I think it started as an internship and now she's social media intern. Anyway, she's now a social media manager. But that's it. She saw an opportunity that she was intrigued by and thought, oh, I'm interested in this. Let me pursue this. And so she pursued this opportunity that she probably couldn't have predicted necessarily before she pursued copywriting that she would might necessarily be interested in. Or Tyler, who I think is now working, he's using copywriting, but I want to say he's a communications director or manager or something like that. And so all of these paths, you can't predict where the path is going to go, is all that's to say. So I think when you think too far out in the future, you don't know. You don't have enough information yet. Not enough things have happened in life. Things are going to come your way. Things are going to change. You're going to learn more. You're going to have more opportunities. And as you see and identify those opportunities, you might use that copywriting skill set in a different way, but it might not have been the kind of quote unquote another quote, success that you originally set out for. If it was, I want to become a copywriter, maybe that's the path that how it starts, but maybe all of these other opportunities open up for you and you decide, oh, okay, this is actually what I want to pursue with this new copywriting skill set. And for many of you, yes, it will be working as a copywriter and becoming a copywriter, but it might be, oh, I discovered I liked these clients that I didn't think this industry, or I liked writing in this medium that I didn't think I would necessarily like writing in. And so focusing a little bit closer to, okay, what do I need to do right now? What is my goal right now? What is my next step right now? And then just being open to the possibilities of what might come your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be open to serendipities, be open to fun surprises. I mean, how many students have we talked to who said, I wasn't expecting to do this, but then I saw this job posting, or I kind of thought I would head in this direction and then I headed in this direction.
Yeah, and I thought I'd be freelance and then I love working on staff.
Exactly. Or I thought I'd work on staff. Exactly. And, or I thought I'd be a copywriter, but I discovered the communications manager, you know, whatever, but you can set yourself up for those possibilities by taking action and acquiring the skills that make you accessible for these possibilities. Because the possibility of getting into, you know, getting a communications manager or a social media manager, that wouldn't be available to you if you hadn't taken the steps to learn copywriting. It's a valuable skill set no matter what, quite frankly. But by taking that, and I don't even want to say taking that first leap of faith, because it's not a leap of faith. Kate and I will tell you, we are not big fans of leaps of faith. That leap in the net will appear. Yeah, I think it's the worst piece of advice anybody will give you. Yes, do not leap. Make sure to take the ladder. You have the ladder, right? But you have to take those steps and continue to take those steps. And when you're feeling a little unsure, which by the way will happen, self-doubt is a natural part of the process. I would be very concerned if a student told me, no, I've never had any doubt at all, or I've never been at all nervous in this process, or I've never at all felt like I was getting a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I would be very concerned about that student because you're starting a new career. You're evolving into a new version of yourself. And that's going to involve getting a little outside of your comfort zone here and there. It's going to involve doing new things. A new career, a new version of you is going to involve doing some new things. But again, when that happens, when you start to feel a little bit nervous, or when you start to feel a little bit self-doubt, when that, we talk a lot about resistance in the course, when the resistance starts to kick in and go, well, maybe you should just go back to your old, because it's going to come up. That's what our brains do. Then you lean on the resources that we've built in to keep going. Then you reach out to the community. You hop on a coaching call and you ask questions. You go through the courses that we put in because we know this is going to happen. Reach out and get that support to get through it, because self-doubt does not, the only way that self-doubt lasts forever is if you stay in it. If you don't do anything to get yourself out of self-doubt. But there are tried and true steps that you can take to get yourself out of that self-doubt and get yourself onto the next step. But the only way that stays in, and unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people that stay in that try something new, they experience self-doubt, and then they spend all of the rest of their lives in that self-doubt about that particular area, and they never move forward, and they stay there. And that does not have to be you, because there are ways to get out of it. A lot of stuff to dig in here on today, a lot of stuff to maybe think through. I'm hoping that you got some new perspective on a couple of different concepts. And also too, I'm hoping for students that maybe this was a good refresher. If you are in a stage of your business, maybe you're a student who is making $5,000 months, and you're thinking, all right, I need to expand a little bit. I need to start working on bigger projects or with bigger types of clients. And you're feeling that self-doubt, because yes, it will come up at various different levels. It will come up when you're getting started. It will come up as you're increasing. I've been in business now I've been a marketer, a copywriter for 20 years. I've been running this business for 11, 12, and it still comes up. So just knowing that it's going to come up, I hope that what we have given you in this episode is some things to think about, and also some new perspectives, because you're never in this alone. I guarantee that whatever you're feeling, whether you're at the very beginning of the process and you're thinking, I don't know, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail, understand, please, again, listen to that failure episode. But you are not alone. Every single person, first of all, every single person that is a successful copywriter now started in the exact same place, knowing nothing about copywriting. No one is born knowing anything about copywriting. So if that's where you are in excellent company, because it's exactly where everybody who is a successful copywriter now, or who is a student now, who's working their way, everybody started in that same place. So your experience, it often our emotions feel like we're the only person experiencing it, right? Like experiencing that self-doubt, experiencing that fear. You are not the only person, but it will feel like you're the only person as long as you just stay within yourself and you don't share that experience. Because when you share that experience, when you're in like our student-only Facebook group and you say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little bit off today, then you give other people the opportunity to support you and say, oh my gosh, I felt like that too when I was first getting started. Stick with it. Because even something as simple as that can be a reminder that, number one, we're not in it alone. Number two, our experience is not unique. And number three, that we can do this. So that is what we have for you today. And again, we hope it was helpful, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.